Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Dear friends of this program, can you believe it? We are halfway through the year. Sorry to have to ask you this, but we are in desperate need of your financial help. If you enjoy this program and would be willing to support us with a generous donation, please send your donation to Crown of Life Baptist Church, P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. While supplies last, for a donation of $100 or more, we will send you one of the following books: The Rod, Will God Spare It? The Word, God Will Keep It? The Trail of Blood, Revisited? Or The Boy with No Name? The book, The Rod, Will God Spare It?, was written by Pastor Joey Faust, who is a personal friend of mine. This book is an exhaustive study of the temporary punishment for unfaithful Christians at the judgment seat of Christ and during the millennial kingdom. This book is thoroughly footnoted. Also, Pastor Joey wrote the book, The Word, God Will Keep It, which is also an extensive research of the 400-year history of the King James Bible-only movement. Remember, if your Bible omits the name of Lucifer from Isaiah chapter 14, you are using a Luciferian version of the Bible. Don't get offended. Just switch to the King James Bible and be edified in the true Word of God. Two other books that I have on hand are The Trail of Blood Revisited, written by my mentor, Dr. Greg Dixon, which is about Christ's true New Testament church, its past, present, and future. Also, The Boy with No Name is Dr. Dixon's autobiography. Again, for a donation of $100 or more, I will send you one of these books, or for a donation of $1,000 or more, I will send you all four books while supplies last. We hope you will consider donating monthly. We would love to hear from you. Tell us your personal story of how you were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and how this program ministers to your Christian walk. Enjoy listening to this morning's program as we continue with the message, Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, which draws a line between the church and the kingdom. They are both to be taught in this age of grace, and yet they are distinct one from the other. Their paths intersect to some extent, and I will reveal how and why. One of the major tenets of the Baptists that differs from the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches is that the New Testament church is a local, visible body of believers. The church is many, not singular. Meaning, just because you are saved and born again does not mean you are in the body of Christ. A born-again believer becomes a member of a local assembly through the repentance and scriptural baptism, which is by immersion only. Baptism is one of two ordinances of the New Testament church. It is not a sacrament. The believer's business is not to build the kingdom, but to build the undefiled church, which Scripture admonishes to be the chaste virgin, which is espoused to Christ, if it is not defiled. Jesus Christ will take out of the pure, undefiled New Testament church those who will make up the kingdom in the future when he returns. Eternal life on the new earth in a newly created heaven is based purely on faith alone. However, ruling and reigning with Christ in the millennial kingdom is based on faith and obedience to a host of commandments that Jesus and the apostles spell out for the believer. The Holy Spirit, through the book of Hebrews, commands us, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Much is implied in that single statement. Church attendance is paramount to the believers unless you are absolutely physically impaired, such as the very elderly and physically handicapped. Entrance into the millennial kingdom is a prize for faithfulness, righteousness, and holiness in one's walk with Christ. Again, send your donation to Crown of Life Baptist Church, P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. I look forward to hearing from you. Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, Part 5.
Could you imagine the talk in the upper room when Jesus ascended up to heaven and they're waiting 10 days for the Comforter, not knowing what to expect, what was coming in the world? Could you imagine their what was going through their mind about, if Jesus is going to set up his kingdom, where is he? Is he coming back to set up his kingdom? They didn't understand that this church age was going to be this long. They had no idea this church, that they were going to die and there was going to be generation after generation after generation of the church age. They had no idea. Nowhere is it seen in Scripture, this 2,000-year church time. The only possibility for the church time is if you look at man being on the face of the earth for 6,000 years. And it was 4,000 years up to the time Christ came the first time. Remember, there's God created the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested. And if you look at each day in a prophetical sense as 1,000 years, because you have a day with the Lord is 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. And so there's a picture, and you look at the seventh day the Lord rested, and you say the seventh millennium is the millennial rest. That's one way you could see that there's possibly 2,000-year span of time from the time of Christ's first advent to now. But I'm sure that wasn't preached very much in their churches and in their synagogues. And they didn't have that comprehension and understand those things. And they were just hoping the kingdom, Lord would set up his kingdom and come back and set up his kingdom. So the kingdom of God has come unto you. So in Christ. So what's interesting is when the king withdrew from the world, so did the kingdom. You see that in your notes? When the king withdrew from the world, so did the kingdom. But the Lord is mystically present with his church in a mystery. The mystery, he's present with his church. There is therefore a mystical kingdom. Look at the scripture in Colossians, chapter 1. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now that word translated, that's an interesting word. In the New Testament, when Enoch went up to heaven, they used the word he was translated. Okay? When Elijah went up in the fiery chariot, he was translated. But are you and I translated to the kingdom of God now? Are we in the kingdom of God? No, not yet. This is a spiritual application. This is a mystical application here. Has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The potential. So what is that saying? Let me see if I can get this clearly in your thinking. Christ is within us. Christ is in us, right? He's not physically in us, right? But his spirit is within us. And so Christ being the king of the kingdom, his spirit being in us, that we have the Holy Spirit, we have the king living within us, correct? And that means we have the potential to be translated into his kingdom, into the kingdom of his dear Son, God's Son. And so that it's within us. And turn your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Colossians. There's other parts of Colossians that I didn't bear out, but it's a beautiful passage. It's a beautiful passage, chapter 1 of Colossians. Look at verse 21 in chapter 1. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Notice you have a colon there. Verse 23, now here comes the conditional statement. Here comes the conditional statement, Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And so there's a condition for the kingdom, not eternal life, but for the kingdom to rule and reign, to be the first fruits. It says there the potential for everyone to enter the kingdom rests within the heart and will of first, one, to believe and be converted, and second, to follow Christ obediently until their end. It teaches us in Luke 17. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And this is bantered back and forth all kinds of different interpretations here. The kingdom of God is within you. It's based upon the condition of one's heart. That's what he's saying. The potential for the kingdom is your heart. Where does your heart stand? Are you broken? Do you have a contrite, broken spirit? As David talks about in Psalm 51. Brokenness. The potential for the kingdom is within every one of us. It's within the heart. Mold me and make me like you, Lord. We have a heart. What did the Lord rebuke the Israelites over and called them what? Over and over and over again. They were a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked. Okay? A lot of us may have never worked with horses. But boy, sometimes a horse will get a stiff neck and you can't get him to turn and follow you. Or the horse, you get on the saddle and the horse all of a sudden turns around, goes back to the barn. I saw a man in Pennsylvania. I don't know why they put this man on the horse in the barn, and then they tried to lead the horse out of the barn, the stable workers, and that horse reared up and threw that man backwards and broke his arm. And so those, you know, the horses can be very belligerent and have a stiff neck, and we as human beings can be the same way. Well, I'm not going to do that, or I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to wake up and go to church every Sunday. Maybe I'll come for Christmas or Easter. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make, you don't have this, but it says in verse 27, if you still have your Bibles open there, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ is in you. You see that in that verse, if you still have that Bible open to that passage there? Christ in you. So you have the King in you via his Spirit. The hope of glory. The hope of the kingdom. At Romans 8:10, you don't have. You can look this up. Just write the reference down. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So Roman numeral 4 in your notes. The church and the kingdom. The church and the kingdom. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Verse 18, it says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness and tempest. What is he saying? What is the author of Hebrews, and I believe Paul was the author of Hebrews, what is he saying there? For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched. Mount Zion. Mount Sinai. In the wilderness, where the Israelites were, there was a Mount Sinai. I talked about Elijah went up there. I believe that's where Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's where the law was given to Moses. Mount Sinai. But we don't go back. We don't make a pilgrimage to Mount Sinai. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire. If you remember, the Lord descended on that mountain, and that mountain is black on top of it. The actual Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. Verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They were feared. They feared God. Verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Do you remember that the Lord told the Israelites, except for Moses? Moses was allowed to climb the mountain, but anybody touched the mountain, they would die. Verse 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly feared and quaked. Could you imagine God being that close to you and descending on that mountain? And the people drew near. And that's the first trump we talked about. Verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. This is a picture of, I believe this is a picture of what it's going to be like in the heavens, in the clouds, when Jesus descends to the clouds. To the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And that will be the crowd that will go into the kingdom. The church age will make up overcomers in all the churches for the last 2,000 years will make up this church of the firstborn that will go into the kingdom. Not all believers are overcomers. That's why the Lord says it seven times in the book of Revelation to overcome. So the church and the kingdom. Finally, Scripture unfolds the right attitude of the church to the kingdom. The church is to preach the kingdom, to pray for it, and to seek to enter it. That's my job as a pastor. That's the job of every pastor. The church is to preach the kingdom, to pray for it, and to seek to enter it. Paul in Ephesus said, particularly the apostle, he was the apostle of church planting. Nobody's given us more information about the church, the doctrine of the church, and church planted churches than Paul the apostle. He was the church planter. He was the great apostle that led the way for a planting church. And went into the synagogues here in Acts chapter 19 and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom, talking to the Jews. He always went to a synagogue in those Greek cities and spoke to the Jews first, before he presented the gospel to the Gentiles, to persuade them that Christ came as the Messiah, and to accept him, embrace him as the Messiah, and then spoke about the coming kingdom. The last time we hear Paul speak on the kingdom in the book of Acts is while he was under house arrest in Rome. The Jews rejected it, but the Gentiles would hear him and be converted. It tells us the last chapter of Acts. And when they, the Jews, had appointed him a day, there came many to him. Now this is after Jesus had Paul had a shipwreck. Remember, he had the shipwreck in the Mediterranean Sea, and he survived that and came to Rome, and he's speaking, and they gave him liberty to preach. And when they, the Jews, had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Now, he's using the Old Testament, trying to persuade them. He's talking to Jews. So then they rejected him. It tells you they rejected him. I didn't put those verses in your list, but you can go back. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. That's you and I, Gentiles, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The Gentiles took it all in. They got converted. They didn't understand the law and Moses and the Jews, their covenant of the Old Testament that well. Paul had to teach it to them, but they still believed. And the Jews, who were brought up from childhood learning the things about the law of Moses and the prophets and Daniel and the kingdom, they rejected it. And so he was teaching it in the church of Rome that became the great church after the church in Jerusalem was destroyed. In the last letter Paul wrote, he is still preaching the kingdom of God. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Underline that. I have kept the faith.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.